Blog Talk Radio. Tunes in on hot, May days, just to reminisce about that great Ranger season we had. Now, tonight we gather for one reason and one reason only, to commiserate, to obliterate the Philadelphia Flyers' chances of ever winning one game in the Stanley Cup. I think we're wholeheartedly steadfast in our convictions that the Philadelphia Flyers must lose in four games, be embarrassed. Also, to talk about some other things. Rangers have finally signed the Frodo from Modo, the Norwegian Hobbit, Mats Zuccarello Usson, as well as picking up some Islander draftees in Jiri Niemi. But without further ado, I'd like to introduce my partner in crime for tonight's broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Jim Schmiedeberg.
Good evening. How are you, Eddie?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, I'm hanging in there. You know, it's a little hot, but hey, the big man will persevere.
How hot is it?
Do a little. I don't want to yell. Every time I say how hot it is, you people from the West Coast always go, oh, that's nothing. We have that every day. Everybody's got to poo-poo the weather out there. Everybody has it worse than what you have.
I wasn't gonna poo-poo. I would never poo-poo.
You don't
poo-poo? Say it was night. I don't. Well, only in the morning before I get in the shower. 94 degrees today here in Phoenix, but 94 is still very comfortable here, so. Not too bad. Sitting out on the patio as usual. I'm excited for tonight's guest. Not often we get a Super Bowl hero. Steve the touchdown maker Baker turned around Super Bowl 25 for the Giants. I can't wait to talk to this guy.
Guess what? It's not
canceled. Don't even tell me he canceled. We finally get to talk to a Super Bowl hero and he canceled. What is Steve Baker doing that he cancels on us?
No, not Steve Baker, the football guy. Was he from Michigan? Why do I remember that? I don't know. Steve Baker, the former Ranger goaltender, Tampa Bay Lightning scout, Boston hockey connoisseur, Renaissance man, went to Yale, originally from Union College, as Mandar said, under the legendary tutelage of Ned Harkness, was on that famous Ranger team. Well, not very famous, but the team that Cotsy was on, I believe. Wasn't he the netminder in that game in 1980? In the playoffs, yeah. He holds the record, I think, for most goals given up in a playoff series for a Ranger goalie. Pretty sure. In a playoff. Not just a series, but the whole playoffs. So, but Steve's a great guy and a fascinating guy. And there's one story I don't know too much about, but I'm going to ask him about. So he's going to be great. I'm going to tell you. He's also was on the scouting team with John Tortorella while Torts was in Tampa that won the Cup. And maybe he can give us some insight on what what is John Tortorella all about? Because we certainly didn't get really too much detail from him. So it should be fun.
Do you believe this chat room already? Look at this.
Let me tell you something, and I'm going to say this, and I mean this with all honesty, heartfelt. Even though it's hot as a bastard in this computer room right now, I am loving this turnout. You guys are ridiculously loyal and cool. So much that if you were all here, I would have to call for a unified group hug. I read the chat room always cracking me up. Hal the Mad Murdoch says the Hawaiian Islanders that should go to. Oh, yes, and that's right. Rob Leone's father passed away. He's a guy that we're, who I guess he listens to the show. I know he's a Facebook friend and the whole thing, Ranger fan. And his dad passed away, and our condolences and well wishes go out to the family. So, there was a picture of him with the Stanley Cup. I tell you, it was just an awesome picture. And, it's sad when you lose your dad. It's, you know, or anybody, let's face it. But it's tough. Now, it's going to, you know, I appreciate it. You're right. I can't believe this chat room. I'm just so psyched, you know. I'm just so psyched. I just love it.
Yeah, I mean, look at this group that's here already. All these, the Whack Tack is in full throttle. I apologize. I was trying to get the video going, and it's not working tonight. I've already reported at the Blog Talk Radio, and they are aware of the problem. So
what do you mean?
Anyway, since this is a featured broadcast on Blog Talk Radio, the only weekly hockey broadcast that is featured on Blog Talk Radio, the host of the show has the option of publishing his video. And I did it last week, and it was kind of funny. I had a few people watching me just sit here and do the show, I guess. I don't know. It was kind of comical. I was sitting here blowing my daughter's bubbles, and you know, it was just funny. And I tried to get it going again, and it's not working this week. So, what are you going to do? Some weeks the switchboard works. Some weeks it doesn't. Some weeks the chat room works. Some weeks it doesn't. Some weeks the camera works, and some weeks it doesn't.
I wasn't notified about any of that. All right, anyway, let's move on. Let's talk about it. We have Islander, I don't know. Is it tainted Islander blood, tainted Islander heritage in the Rangers system now in the acquisition of 1 year in Miami? What's your feeling on that? I don't know. With the first trade they made in like 30 years or so?
37 years was the first trade they'd made since I forget the guy's name now. Was it Ron? I want to say Ron Stewart, but I don't know if that's right. But yeah, the first trade they made in 37 years. I don't know if it's tainted or not. I don't think the guy's ever stepped on the ice for the Islanders. Sixth round pick in 2008. Another offensive defenseman. I don't know how many more we need, but they've got themselves another one.
All right. People are saying that I am coming in horribly. I am not coming in clear, and I am hearing some kind of like wacky feedback. But this looks like it's a temporary problem, so I don't know. We'll have to see if it clears up.
All right. If not, you'll be ducking out and calling. Well, you can if you want to duck out and call back in and get Steve on the line. We could always try that. That usually works when you seem to be having audio problems. I don't know if it's just you or if it's both of us, but Jim's too low, Frosty says. So let me adjust the level here. I can do that.
But I do hear me going out like this. Like now I'm clear, but then I hear this like, I don't know, just like this hissing sound. And then it sounds like some craziness. Anyway, listen, right. We got to go on. We got to press on. We can't get bogged down by these technical problems. But thank you guys for letting us know. So
yes, thank you. And I turned up my microphone, so hopefully they can hear me better now. And if not, well, most of what I say isn't worth listening to anyway.
Well, we want everything to go. Steve Baker's going to be here. Steve Baker, I got to tell you, guy is a renaissance man. I mean, he's done it all. And his dad was talking about, well, not his dad, but his dad is famous. His father's name, oddly enough, is Bill Baker. And Bill was a dentist who wound up getting a tryout with the Boston Red Sox. So, I don't know. So there's some kind of story behind that. I got to get that clear with him. So, Yuri Niemi, I think this was basically done because Ika took a hike and then back to the KHL after I think he got a bad deal by the Rangers. I thought he really deserved more of a look than he got. I don't think we ever really got a chance to see what kind of player he was. He was up for, I guess, about 10 games or so, give or take. And I think they basically got Niemi because they wanted another guy possibly to move the puck. This guy does move the puck well, from everything I've heard. The only problem is a little bit injury prone, even at this young age. Listen, Rangers stockpiling defensemen still. Gotta love that. So with that said, you got Niemi, and then finally they made it official with MZA. And, listen, they're going to bring some guys in and try to get to, try to get this some offense going. Because they're going to have to do it on the cheap. And we'll see. Go ahead, Jim.
Well, I don't know, they keep stockpiling defensemen, but they keep stockpiling offensive defensemen. Don't they have enough? I mean, how many do you need?
It's true. I mean, you got a guy like, you already got MDZ, Michael Delzato. I mean, you only like to have maybe one or two of those guys. And the rest of them, let's go and shut down defensemen. So, yeah, I don't know.
Are you still there? You sounded like,
yeah.
I just lost you.
Yeah, I'm going to call back in because that's ridiculous. I don't want to be doing an interview. I'll call back in.
Okay. All right. So while we wait for Eddie to call back in, we got just a couple minutes. We're going to talk to Steve Baker, and we have another big guest lined up for next week, which we'll talk about in just a few minutes. We'll let Eddie drop his hints, and we'll see if you guys can guess. And then towards the end of the show, after we talk to Steve, we got a few things we want to talk to you guys about, a couple of things going on here with the show, and about some changes we're going to make and things we want to do. So we'll get into that in just a few minutes. And let me bring Eddie back in. Welcome to the program.
Hey, how are you? Glad to be here.
Thanks for calling in.
Always
a pleasure to talk to you.
When in Rome, I was just on the computer. I saw the show was going on, all these people congregating. I felt like, hey, let me join in this cluster of Ranger fans. So you guys crack me up in this chat room. It's like everybody a little thing about how bad I sound. Okay, I understand I sound bad. I can't take it. All right. So anyway, I guess
you don't sound all that good when things are going well.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's right. Who was it that they're talking about? Jim Ramsey, the Ranger trainer in the chat room. And I remember somebody told us that Jim Ramsey was quite the dirty joke teller. That he was a guy who was comical trainer. I don't know. Somebody told me that down the line. I don't know who it was.
Yeah, I remember that, but I don't remember who it was that told us.
Right. So the Rangers are stockpiling, and now I think they've made it official. The Rangers are going to be moving from their AHL affiliate from Hartford. They're going to move to Rochester and become the Rochester Americans. I don't know. So
have they
I don't know.
Is that official yet? I mean, we ran it over the weekend, but it was just kind of a sources say Rangers are close to.
I don't know.
Hartford affiliation.
Yeah. No. I don't.
Okay. And somewhere Mitch Peck is sobbing.
Oh, yeah. Well, as well as he should. Let's face it. So we're not going to get into next week's guest at all yet. We're going to, we should really just get ahead with this week's guest before even promoting. I don't know. What did you talk about while I was gone?
We talked about a lot of things. I gave my theories on the JFK assassination. We talked about the oil spill
in
the
Gulf.
Weapons of mass destruction. It was pretty compelling. 45 seconds of radio.
All right, let's get to the brass tacks. I'm gonna go get Mr. Baker, and I'll notify you when I do so.
All right, I'll tell that joke I know.
Okay.
All right, so in case the last couple of days, in case you haven't seen it on Blue Shirt Banner, we said, we had the news today about Matt Zuccarello joining the team. And then we also did yesterday, we talked, we got some insight from Jess at the Prospect Park. He weighed in on the Emmy trade. He thought it was a good deal to get him for a sixth-round pick. He had some quotes from Sam Claussen, the guy the Rangers signed last year, who was a teammate of the Emmys and had some good things to say about him. And then yesterday, we've been doing our player reviews for the season, and yesterday I did my Wade Redden one. And when me and Joe and Nick decided to split up the team and we'd all take a couple of players, I purposely kept Redden for myself because I knew I could have some fun with it, and I did. We always pick a highlight game for the player for his season, and I actually went back to 2003 when Redden scored 2 goals in 1 game for Ottawa. That was his highlight game. And then the highlight video that we always run for the player, we put up a video that somebody had put on YouTube of Wade Redden scoring a goal on NHL 10. It was a video from the video game. He scored a goal from behind his own net that just kind of bounced down and went past the goaltender. So that was the video we ran for Wade Redden. So it was pretty funny. If you didn't get a chance to make sure you take a look, it's on Blue Shirt Banner. And I believe Eddie is back. Eddie, are you there?
Yeah, I'm back. And ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, and hopefully I had a little problem hearing Steve, but I think hopefully everything's going to go all right. We have the great Steve Baker, former Ranger and now Tampa Bay Lightning scout with us. Steve, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing terrific. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
It was my pleasure. It's our pleasure. The fans, I tell you, a lot of the fans came out tonight. I was a little worried about, it's hot out here. But...
Uh-oh. Steve, are you with
Hello.
Us?
Jim, you may have...
Oh, man.
Yeah, again, I'm having these microphone problems tonight for some reason. Okay, anyway,
yeah.
I was saying...
Sorry, Steve, we're having technical problems. This is Jim,
yeah,
and his partner. How are you?
I'm doing
okay.
I think we're okay.
Okay. Well, now we're okay, but it seems like my mic keeps going out sporadically. But we'll try to get through this as far as the technical problems. I guess the first thing I want to say, Steve, I kind of tab you as a renaissance man because you kind of done it all. I mean, you were a guy that came to the Rangers and then went to Yale during the off season. Is that correct?
Actually, I never did attend Yale. I did attend some courses in the off season at Manhattanville College and also University of New Haven, and then ultimately I went back and completed my degree, where I started at Union College in Schenectady, New York.
And I did some research about your time at Union College, and you played for the former GM of the Red Wings, Ned Harkness, and there was a little situation that went on down there at the time. Can you tell the fans about that?
Well, it's going to be difficult to get into all the different elements, if you will, because it's a long story, but I'll try to be as brief as possible. Essentially, Ned had returned from the pro game after a number of years of success in the college game, having won NCAA championships at RPI in the 50s, and then also, of course, at Cornell in the late 60s and 70s with a goaltender by the name of Ken Dryden in tow. And I wanted to return to the college game, and he went back to his roots in upstate New York. He came to Union College. There was a grant issued by Reverend Achilles from Vermont, who was a former Union grad, in the amount of $2-3 million to build a rink on campus. Ned oversaw that project. He was brought in by the new president of the school, a gentleman who came in from the University of New Hampshire by the name of Tom Bonner. And at that point in time, he went out and immediately started to recruit his team. And he recruited an all-freshman varsity, which I don't think has ever been done in the history of hockey. And we went on to have some very, very, very good years up there. Unfortunately, I think our success was kind of took the campus by storm and maybe a little bit too quick for a lot of people's likings. Mm-hmm. I think they were a little concerned about a very quaint school in upstate New York maybe becoming too big of a college entity in the hockey area. And there was some infighting that went on, and ultimately Ned decided to leave. And as a sign of support, we all kind of walked with him.
Yeah, I found that very interesting. And I guess back, you know, back in that time, you know, college hockey was not as big, obviously not as big as it is now. And for a small college like that to stand out, really put a lot of focus on it.
Yeah, it was an interesting experience, to say the least. But, you know, we move on. I mean, for me, two things that I was looking forward to when I went to Union was obviously to get a fantastic degree. It's an excellent academic institution, and I did ultimately complete my BA in economics out of there. And then, of course, also having a chance to play intercollegiate, hockey, if you will, and sharpen my skills to ultimately play in the pro game, and I was able to achieve that dream as well.
Yeah, I mean, and it's, you know, it's funny because I was looking through the draft that year, and it actually turned out that another goaltender from Union also got drafted, Jim Baxter. Do you ever know what ever became of Jim Baxter?
Jim was a fine talent. He was a lot more tactical than me. I was more of a butterfly kind of style. And I know he got drafted by Detroit in the sixth round, if I'm not mistaken, and decided to turn pro right away. And I think he bounced around the eye a little bit. I'm not sure he got much of an opportunity above and beyond that, but in his day, he was a guy that certainly pushed you for playing time, no question about it.
And you're one of the few guys we've actually had on the program that were drafted by John Ferguson and the late John Ferguson. Can you tell us a little bit about John Ferguson and the type of guy he was? We all knew he was kind of hard-nosed, and at least that his reputation was. What can you say about John?
Well, when I was drafted, there were only 21 teams in the league, and it was, it's a 20-year-old draft at that time. So I received my call at my dorm room, if you will, on campus, and it was John Ferguson just kind of welcomed me to the Ranger regime and organization. Their anticipation at that point in time was for me to kind of complete my education and potentially give a run at the 1980 Olympic team. And, things don't always go as planned, if you will. He was always a complete gentleman to me, just a really class act, and his entire staff was pretty much the same.
And it's funny because that was a very good Ranger draft that year. They come out with Lucien Deblois, who had a couple stints with a couple turns with the Rangers, and Ron Duquet, and then of course the Islanders took Mike Bossy after that, which I think sticks in the Ranger crawl for. Sticks in the Rangers crawl a little bit, and then Mario Mawar, and then yourself. So that was a very productive draft, and a lot of good players came out of that draft.
Yeah, it was a good draft, and again, if you look at it in perspective to, you know, where we are now, I think I was the 44th pick in the draft. That would have been a mid-second-round pick now, and, unfortunately, the game wasn't built out quite as much, quite as many jobs and quite as many opportunities, but it was an honor nonetheless. I think I was selected second in the draft, only behind Glenn Hanlon,
right,
who also had a chance to play in the pipes of the New York Rangers.
Yeah, you were one of the better goaltenders that came out of that draft. There were some later round picks. I think Richard Sevigny was taken. Greg Millen also was a fine goaltender with the Pittsburgh Penguins and Hartford Whalers. It was a very good draft. Barry Beck was taken in that draft. An all around. And you answered my question inadvertently when I was going to ask you where were you when you heard you were drafted. And I guess back then the draft was just kind of like it wasn't a big deal at all. It was just you got a phone call that didn't, have you come down and a big affair and the whole thing. And I guess that's the way it was back then.
Yeah, well, you certainly have the media hype and the number of outlets that are involved. And, you know, we weren't playing for the kind of coin and the money. You know, the interest level certainly follows the money many times. And the games have grown. The players are making a lot more and a lot more opportunity. And it's terrific for everybody that's involved in and around the National Hockey League and all the supporting leagues underneath it.
It's a funny thing. I was talking to a certain Ranger player. I can't say his name right now because he's going to be next week's guest. But I had mentioned that you were going to be on the show, and he said, oh, yeah. His dad was a Boston dentist. Now, I've read about this story a little bit. You know, I've seen a little blurb. What is the story between I really don't know this. What is the story behind your dad, Bill Baker, and the Boston Red Sox? What's the whole deal on that?
Way back when in the day, Dad used to play a lot of baseball, and I think he had an opportunity to try out, going way back. And, at that point, there weren't a lot of jobs, and I think he had a good showing for himself. I loved the game of baseball right up to the day that he died. As a matter of fact, just a little side note, the night before he actually expired, the Red Sox won their first World Series.
Oh, wow.
It was, in 2004, I guess, and my dad always used to say, because he was a lifelong tortured Red Sox fan, that the Red Sox will win a World Series when pigs fly, so I made sure I told him that pigs were flying in the room that night. So it was quite a tribute, and he left us the next morning, but they brought up a family of 8 kids and did a lot of drilling to do that, and he was my mentor and my guide and one of my favorite people in my life, for sure.
Uh-huh. That's such a great story. I mean, it's of course sad, but it's also kind of poignant and kind of heartfelt, that you telling him, pigs are flying, Dad, and, it's unbelievable. So I've heard that story, and later on I'll divulge what Ranger said that to me, but for some reason that's what stuck out in his mind about you. Jim, I know you had some questions you wanted to ask Steve about his playing days as a New York Ranger when he finally got between the pipes.
Well, Steve, the first question I wanted to ask you is, when you were playing for the New Haven Nighthawks, do you remember the situation where when you got told you were going to play for the Rangers, when you got told you got called up? Do you remember that?
I do. Just to kind of back up a little bit, I remember us going to, and the Red Nighthawks going to the Calder Cup Finals, and the Rangers in 79 going to the Finals, of course, against Montreal. And I remember us playing an actual scrimmage against one another at the practice facility in Elmsford, New York. And I had an unbelievable showing against them. I know a lot of the guys on the Rangers were kind of standing up screaming at me on the side of the sideline. When I left the game, I think we were up, if memory serves me correct, maybe 3-2 with about half the game expired. We were kind of, both teams kind of tuning up for our playoffs, if you will. And I think that showing kind of prepared me, because the next year I came in and had an unbelievable training camp. Are you guys still with me? Because I'm getting a lot of static on this end.
I can hear you just fine.
Okay. I had an unbelievable training camp, and I remember Danny Summers, the head scout, coming up to me at the end of camp and saying, Stevie, we know what you've done here. Just go down and continue to play hard, and you're going to get your opportunity. And I know at the start of that season, I was off to like a 6-1-1 start, and I think the Rangers were struggling out of the box like 1-6-1 or something. And I remember Parker McDonald giving me a phone call, and as luck would have it, I had kind of contracted a bit of a cold, and he called me up and said, hey, kid, you're going up. And of course, right away, I started feeling a lot better and started downing some of my wife's chicken soup. But it was a fabulous feeling, and I'll never forget it.
When you got to New York, that was a pretty young team. That must have been pretty exciting for a young guy. I mean, there were only a couple of real veterans on that team. Most of that team was pretty young. New York City, 1980, that must have been an exciting time.
Yeah, it really was. You know, I just there were some veterans when I first came up still around, and Walter Tkachuk was still there, and Steve Vickers, and Carol Vadney, Gresh, of course, and Dave and Don Maloney. You mentioned Dugues. Bubba had been traded for and brought in. JD, who really kind of groomed me as a pro, you know, playing in front of me there in New York, Eddie Johnston. Eddie Hospital was young and up with us, and a feisty player. Of course, Hedberg and Nielsen were there. We had Nicky Pieface with Dio, as tough as they come. They had traded and brought Mike Rogers in. I mean, we had a really good group there, no question.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to ask a quick follow-up. When you first came up to the Rangers, who were the guys you kind of piled around with or maybe ran with, you know, who kind of took you under their wing and said, you know, kind of showed you life in the big city?
Well, you know, the goaltenders always stick close to one another. And at that time, of course, I played with Dougie Sotard down in New Haven, and then he was up in New York for a period of time with me as well. Wayne Thomas was also there. And then, of course, JD. So I stayed close to those guys. But, you know, I have to say to a man, and that's one thing I remember Big Whistle Bill Chadwick used to say, and I think he gets credit with the comment, that once a Ranger, always a Ranger. I mean, everyone to a man was just so classy and just such a great teammate that it just made it easy to walk into that room and be part of it. Excuse me. And, of course, I'm forgetting the fabulous Phil Esposito, who I grew up in Boston, you know, watching along with Bobby Orr, and they won their cups in the early 70s. And, you know, imagine what that's like the first time I walk into Madison Square Garden, and my stall is directly between Carol Vadney, who put in so many years in Boston as well, and Espo. I mean, between the two of them, they probably had over 30 years NHL experience, and here I am, the rook in between them, you know?
Yeah, that I mean, that's got to be something. I mean, really, you know, you're your childhood heroes are guys you grow up watching and you know, and Phil winning a couple cups with Boston, and Carol was on those teams too, I think, as well. So that had to be a thrill. I mean, it had to be.
No, it absolutely was. It absolutely was.
You know, I talked to a lot of Rangers from that the team that you were on that went to the semifinals and lost to the Islanders. The famous the Los Angeles Kings game where that huge brawl took place. What was going on in your mind when that was all happening in that particular game, Steve?
I think, if I'm not mistaken, at that time, the first round of the playoffs, and they were 3 and we were 14. Remember the line that all the teams in the NHL make the playoffs, because we only had 21 teams and 16 teams made the playoffs. But we finished in 14th, and I think they were 3 overall. They had the triple crown line, and they had, you know, quite a cast of characters. They had a good hockey club, and it was the best 3 out of 5 series. And I believe we dropped the first game there, and if memory serves me correct, it was the second game. We couldn't go out of there obviously without a win, and we got into a pretty good Donnybrook. I mean, I think they laid it on us pretty good in that period, like a lot of shots on goal, as I remember.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you know, myself, I was physically kind of sucking canal water, if you will, and needed a drink of water. And I made tracks for the exit to go downstairs and get some water and kind of replenish. And I'm sitting in the locker room waiting for everybody to come up, and nobody's coming down. So I walked back up in the gateway down there, and I saw all hell break loose out on the ice. And it was quite a sight, to say the least.
Yeah, I think it was Ron Gresh that told me that was one of the few series that he remembers as a Ranger where you guys, for the lack of a better word, gooned it up or really took the physical play and just really took that game. I mean, that's, you're talking about the highlight or the, you know, the peak of the Triple Crown line. You're playing against Marcel Dion, Dave Taylor, Charlie Simmer. You have Larry Murphy, who was a rookie. I know Larry Murphy scored a goal on you in that game. I have the video. And I wanted to ask you back. Jerry Korb, right. And there was a school of thought in goaltending back then, and maybe you can address this, coming out and challenging the goaltender, which is probably about as polar opposite as what they do today. Do you know how that came about, or who was the innovator of, like, coming out and challenging that shooter?
Well, I don't know exactly who could attribute the innovation to, but, you know, the game has changed so very, very much. And I just know from, you know, training and working with a lot of the pro goalkeepers now, I mean, all of them, for the most part, are 6 feet and up, and many of which are 6'4". And you remember Dryden was kind of the exception to the rule back when he played. And I think JD and I were maybe the biggest tandem there for a while in the league. We were both 6'3 and up. But, you know, they really try to teach the goaltenders today not to get beat by open net goals. And the guys move the puck so well, particularly east to west, that if they're up and out 2-3 feet on top of the crease, challenging the puck carrier, and these kids' skill levels are so adept, they move the puck east to west, you know, the whole net's wide open there for them to bury it in.
Right.
And so I think a lot of them now play in the paint, and it's all about, you know, kind of attacking the spot, if you will, and it's like a movie picture that you've seen 100 times before, you know where all the punchlines are, and you kind of attack the spot, and a lot of them play that butterfly and stay up high off their haunches and got their gloves in appropriate spots and big pants and big sweaters and big pads and big everything, quite frankly, these days.
Yeah.
One of the scorings down in the league, you know. Everyone looks at the goals against averages back when we played and they say, you guys must have been brutal. But, you know, if you take a look at a picture of us in our gear, there were holes everywhere.
I know.
All kinds of places to shoot the puck, you know. But,
like, you were like stick figures in there, let's face it. I mean,
yeah. Absolutely, and you had to really have some pretty good athleticism, and to that point, it just made sense that if you had somebody isolated that was coming down off the wing, and you knew that the defenseman was taking the inside away from him, and you knew the shot was coming through all the way, why not step up 2-3 feet to the bottom of that the half circle and take the puck in the pillows as opposed to getting it, you know, in the waist or in the belly or off the arms or something, you know? So we just played a different style, but, you know, the game has changed. I would say that maybe Marty Brodeur is the one kind of holdout that uses pretty much everything in his repertoire, and he's certainly done it to a great degree and had a wonderful career for himself.
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, like, you know, I've spoken to Gilles Vellemure and what have you, and he's really the last, and Gilles will be the first one to tell you, he's like the last of the old school type of goalie where, you know, he does stand up a lot and, like you said, doesn't get down on his haunches and cover that low part of that, which they seem to do so much today. Can you give us a good story? I want to hear a good story from Steve Baker. I want to put you on the spot. Nicky Vitillo always comes to mind when you always hear stories about Nicky. You have any good Nicky prank stories? Because he was the consummate prankster or something. Let me ask you this, rather than put you on the spot.
No, I do have a Nicky story, and I
don't
with me. I have a lot of Nicky stories, and I don't want to step out of school here and have him angry at me.
But, oh, no, you want to trust me.
This is the kind of guy that he is. And, you know, if you're ever in a foxhole, and he certainly played like that as a teammate, you want Nick Vitillo on your side. And he's just as loyal as the day is long. We were coming out as well as the park to the parking lot just adjacent to the garden. I think the guy's still parked there. And as we were walking in, you know, and I think we might have been at Charlie Rose after a few beers after a game, some of the guys and their wives and girlfriends and what have you were starting to, you know, collect their keys or waiting for their cars. And somebody had stolen a vehicle up in, like, maybe the third level. And like a lot of those parking garages, it's that constant circle that you come around and you can hear the tires kind of squealing.
Right, yeah.
And this one guy that had stolen the vehicle that, you know, pointed out, and we knew all the guys that were taking care of the vehicles there, obviously. He pointed out, this is the guy coming down now that stole the car. And Nicky said, where? And as soon as he got wind of it, that guy came down. Nicky ran at the car, jumped through the window, hammered the guy about 3 or 4 times, threw the car into park, dragged him out of the car, held him, I think, until the New York City Finals came. And there's Nicky, you know, after a game in a full suit of clothes, taking care of New York City's business, you know?
I love
that's
that.
The guy he was, you know?
But he's protecting the city on and off the ice.
He's best.
That is a great story, and I've never heard that one before.
That's a good one.
That's a very good one. I wanted to answer because some guys have talked about some of the hazing rituals you guys, the rookies, used to go through. Did you go through any of that crazy stuff? Because, I mean, nowadays they would never have it. I mean, there'd be lawsuits up the, you know, wazoo, so to speak. Was there any kind of hazing where you're witness? I'm always – I'm kind of terrified at these stories, but I'm also intrigued for some reason.
I certainly witnessed some more towards the minors. As far as New York was concerned, I mean, I knew that they really got Doogie's goat as a rookie, and they shaved him. And you remember he had to go get the hat, and he wouldn't go anywhere without the hat. And I think he really got pissed off and went home for a little bit. But yeah, he was such a great athlete and such a great player. And the one thing I always remember about Ron Duguay, he always seemed to ramp up his ability and his performance when it came playoff time. He had some really great playoff series for the Rangers over the years. But, you know, I know they came after me once. And fortunately for me, I had a good buddy by the name of John Davidson that was a rather sizable guy. And as they got me down on the ground and started pulling me by arms and legs and all kinds of limbs, J.D. sat on my chest and said, "You're not taking my partner." So I'll be appreciative of J.D. for that.
Yeah, I can't imagine. You know, see, two big guys like you, I could see that would be a pretty formidable tandem if you guys, and like you said, J.D. came to your rescue. They weren't going to mess with you. But I'm friends with Chris Kostopoulos, and he tells me some crazy stories about the dry shaving, and they got it, and what he witnessed. He's still sitting scarred to this day from all the stuff he's seen.
Yeah, they got Boxcar really big once in Eddie Hospital, and they put the Vaseline in his hair, and it's just such a mess. I mean, poor Boxcar was in the shower for probably an hour and a half after practice one day just trying to get that gook out of his hair, you know?
Well, you know Alex Ovechkin didn't go through that. You tell you.
I don't imagine so.
So, you know, now that we – I guess I wanted to ask you, what are some highlights that you think from your Ranger career? I mean, is it just overall – you mean you played in the big league. You always can say that you played in the National League. And, you know, is that – or is there any specific moments? I mean, you came in with a bang. I think you didn't you had a loss in the first 10 games you played. You got named Player of the Week that you know, you came in with such a fanfare. And during the research, I was reading this old Sports Illustrated article where they were talking about, you know, the fickle Ranger fans have now embraced Steve Baker because, you know, the other goaltenders were, you know, failing New York. I mean, what are we supposed to do? You come in, you don't win in 10, you got a 10-game, you know, a non-loss streak or whatever, and of course we're going to embrace you. We're not going to fickle. So
yeah.
We wouldn't get in a bad – but do you have any highlights or anything like that?
Well, I'll always be grateful to Fred Shiro because Fred's the one that gave me my chance and called me up and gave me my first opportunity there. And we continued the following season with Craig Patrick taking over and kind of making a commitment to me in the playoffs and all that. You know, Freddie gave me my first sniff. You know, I remember the first game, obviously, at Madison Square Garden. It ended up in a 4-4 tie. And this is, of course, without shootouts that they have now. But you'd earn a tie back in the day, and you were happy with it, particularly on the road. But it was a 4-4 tie, and they scored a late goal. It was one of those, you know, shot from the point, up a one-timer, as I remember it, and hit somebody in the shoulder, bounced off a guy's helmet, and then scooted past me high into the net to tie the game late. But I was happy with that. I think the next game we went out to Buffalo and lost to the French Connection and company. With I think Scotty was behind the bench there, Scotty Bowman. We lost to them 2-0 in a very hard-fought game, or it might have been 2-1 actually, and they scored late to win that. And then my next game after that was my first NHL win, which was the shutout against the St. Louis Blues, a 38-save shutout that I'll never forget. Obviously, your first win in the National Hockey League and it being a shutout, you know.
A big time. Yeah.
And also, you know, I remember back, I played the Flyers pretty hard every time that we played them. I know we played them in Madison Square Garden. I think they were in the midst of that longest sports unbeaten streak, and it might have been 25 games in, and they came into our building. Phil Mayer was in net for them, as I recall, and they went on, I think, to put maybe 36 games up without a loss. But we had them 1-0 late into the game, and I remember, I think it was Rick McLeish coming down one-on-one with Vad. And Dad had him tied up every which way but loose, and he just kind of reached out at the 11th hour and chipped the puck as I was kind of looking for the poke check, chipped it up and over me for the tie, and we ended up tying 1-1. That was a great game. Back-to-back shutouts against the Flyers.
Well, I was just going to get to that because you know, we have a lot of fans in the chat room and otherwise, and people knew you were going to be on this show, and I think you're getting to this, so I'm going to just cut you off here. A fan on one of the boards said, 0-0 tie with the Flyers at the Garden. Baker and Rick St. Croix, probably the best game played by Baker. Is that what you were going to get to?
Well, I don't know if it was my best game, but I know it was a great game. Anytime you can go through it, the Flyers back in that day used to throw a lot of rubber at Mets, particularly when they got in their own building. And it was a nothing-nothing tie. Ricky St. Croix and myself, I think that was on a March 30th, and I remember that because it's one of my brother's birthday. And then 2 days later, we went down there, and it was, I think, Phil Mayer and myself, and I think I shut him out down there 2-0. So, you know, just another good performance and a solid performance and just great memories, if you will. You know,
it's funny how I don't find it funny that you remember that. You know, correlation. You know, your brother's birth. That people remember this stuff. I mean, you know, 30 years removed. Here's one that may not be so nice. Ask Steve about grabbing the number one slot, only to rip his groin to shreds on Halloween night in Boston, I believe.
Yeah. Well, you know what. That was the beginning of the end, if you will.
Wow.
And if you look behind the bench now and any hockey club in the National Hockey League, they all have medical trainers and, you know, appropriate training staff. And we had a lot of guys that worked real hard, but there were more equipment guys and not so much on the medical side. And then you'd have a team doctor here and a team doctor in whatever building you played in. And you just didn't have the physical therapists that were part of the team outfit. When I tore that groin, and that was a mistake that I made, because this was when Herb had come in, and, you know, early in the season, we were playing, half the guys were playing north-south hockey, and half of them were bobbing and weaving in Herbie's new style, and we were struggling trying to gel as a club. And when things go bad, people go back to what they know for most of their life. And we took some real bad beatings early in the season. We got off to a really, really tough start. I had hurt my groin on a Sunday night playing against Gretzky's Oilers. I think it was the first time that Grant Fuhr maybe played in Madison Square Garden. And I went to practice the next day, and I could feel it was bothering me, but I just kind of went through one of those light practices very gingerly. And we were off to Boston the next night, and Stevie Weeks was with me as my partner. And the rule of thumb was, you know, you don't throw a rookie to the Sharks in Boston like that. And it's a tough building to play in. And I went in there, and sure enough, about halfway through the second period, Tommy Ferguson came down and he cut across, left shot to the left side, and shot at the low right-hand side. I kicked out to my right in the split kick, and it's like somebody tied my left leg to a horse and my right side of my body to a wall and told the horse to take off. And it just totally ripped my lower stomach on my left groin, and I was purple from my knee to my navel for quite some time. And it took me a long time to try to get past that scar tissue and just rehab it. And I think I got blackballed a little bit after that. And, you know, it was a little disappointing, quite frankly.
And I know, you know, that, first of all, I want to thank you for that graphic. That very descriptive. That was, I mean, I got to tell you, that was very descriptive. But again, you know, and you're right, the medical, you know, the medical treatment and the medical staff that they had back then really wasn't much. The trainer doubled as, you know, everything, you know, the doctor, the team doctor, the team dentist, if you will, and everything like that. And that must have been horrible. And I know that you did get, now, did you sign with the Devils, or what happened with the Devils? You never appeared with the Devils.
I finished up my contract with New York, and I told Craig, I mean, you know, Craig Patrick, you know, I said, Craig, look, I want to play in the National Hockey League, and I'm not doing this to play in the minors, and I think I've shown that, you know, the first time you gave me the reins at 23 years old, we go with a 14th-place team when we get to the semifinals, one of the last 14 standing. Yeah, we ran into a freight train known as the New York Islanders, second Stanley Cup in a row, out of four in a row. But, you know, I thought that, you know, there was an opportunity to get back in and kind of reinstate myself and maybe at least compete and find my way back in. And I didn't sense that that was going to happen. And so I kind of asked him to move me. And there was a lot of talk and whether it was viable or not, that they were talking with the Bruins at the time to make a Jim Craig trade. Jimmy, of course, had played with Herb Brooks in the Olympic team. And you know, I don't know why that didn't get done, but – you know, I ended up, you know, moving on to the Jersey organization, and at that time they had just come in from Denver, and really the whole program was, you know, it was a struggle, and Max McNabb was running the show. They wanted a little bit of support for Chico, Resch, and Ron Lowe, who were their two goalkeepers with the big club, and didn't have really a third guy. They had Sean McKenzie and the Miners up in Portland. And they sent me to Portland and asked me to work with Sean and work with Sammy St. Laurent. And unfortunately, you know, for me, and certainly not for Chico or for Ronnie Lowe, because they both stayed healthy, I didn't get a sniff. They both stayed healthy through the season. But we ended up winning the Calder Cup in 1984 with the Maine Mariners.
Right. And you did win one with New Haven, but I don't think they called it the Calder Cup at that time. Is that correct?
Yeah, no, it was the Calder Cup that I continued to play when I was in New Haven with the Nighthawks, and that's been the coveted trophy for the American Hockey League since its you know, its onset.
Now,
but,
why do you feel that you were blackballed a little bit? I mean, you know, without getting, you know.
Well, I think blackballed in the sense that maybe damaged goods.
Okay. You probably got a label that, you know.
It took me so long to come back from that injury.
Right.
And, you know, especially when you're kind of doing it on your own and you don't have, like, you know, like if you think of your Rocky films and you got somebody, Mickey, standing over you every second of every day,
right.
You know, and the guys get that today.
Right.
You know, the guys that hurt, you know, they want them back out there as soon as possible. And they're working with them on a regular basis. Back then it was like, you're hurt. Okay, come back to us when you think you can play again.
Oh, damn. That's something I didn't know. So, yeah. And I could see, especially with a, you know, a really major injury like that, you know, for a goaltender where, you know, the whole lower body, I mean, is involved in pretty much everything you do, that that would be a pretty catastrophic injury. So
Yeah, I think it looks so bad that it probably scared a lot of people away.
So
including my wife, by the way.
What?
Including my wife, by the way.
So you've been married since to the same woman?
I've been married since 1979.
What?
And she lets me hang around.
I gotta say, Jim, I think that deserves some applause.
It definitely does. That's 31 years. Holy good Lord! I don't think my wife will survive that long with me. You have the applause of the chat room, Steve.
So that's good for you. Now, let's, you know, we talked about the old days. We talked about Nick Vitillo playing cop. We've talked about the groin and the navel and the blue from down your leg and all over the place. Now, let's catch up with Steve Baker. Now, I know, well, not even now, you were part of the Tort scouting team, right? John Tortorella's scouting team that won the cup.
Again, we kind of track back to Espo. You know, played with Espo in New York, and played with Tony, his brother, and Team USA in the Canada Cup in '81. We were partners together, and when they started the program down in Tampa, we didn't have anyone doing the amateur scouting up in New England. And so they asked me if I wouldn't mind, you know, going out Friday, Saturday night to work out a little bit for them in the college game, the junior game, and the prep game. And I've maintained that relationship since 1994, which, of course, is the year that the Rangers won their Stanley Cup. And in 2004, we won a cup with the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah, we're having some static problems. If you could just bear with us. I don't know what's going on. Oh, there we go. I kicked my computer, and all is good. It was like Fonz.
Awesome. Maybe you get a bottle of Coke out of it, too.
So, Espo, once again, you know, this is all seems to be a running theme with Phil. Phil really took care of the people that he played with, and he was very he always seemed – boy, I got this static again. It's driving me nuts. He always seems to take care of his friends and people. Like, all right. I think we got – I pulled another
– Sounds better on my end.
Yeah, it's good. Hopefully. I don't want to give you the impression this is a rinky-dink broadcast, but it's really turning into that right now. We're having
fun. Very high budget on this show, Steve. Very high.
No worries, guys.
We wanted to – So Can you give us a, I don't know, John Tortorella to us is still, to the Ranger fan, is still kind of a mystery. We know he's a no-nonsense guy. We know he's fiery. We love that. But we really haven't gotten to see the inner John Tortorella. Does he have a feminine side? Does he have a soft side? Because all, you know, basically, Ranger fans are just seeing the hard nose, and I'm sure he's got to be that. He's trying to protect his players. He's dealing with a media that's they can be vipers, they can be really tenacious. What kind of guy is John, Steve? And maybe give us some insight if you can about John that maybe we don't know.
Well, he's a very intense guy, and I think that's self-evident, and certainly did a terrific job of managing our club and steering our ship into safe harbor, ultimately winning the cup in 2004. It's a tough place, New York, and I think of the way, Herbie Brooks took over as bench coach in New York, and, Herbie's way was cajole and invite the media in and, spend a lot of chalk talk time with them and, hang out with them, drink coffee, and, really kind of shepherd them under his wing to think the way he wanted them to think, so to speak. I think Amo Francis, just knowing him the way that I do, classy guy that he is, the manager that he was, certainly the bench coach and the history that he's had in many cities, including, of course, New York, where he started. He was such a quintessential hockey guy and just had such a quick wit that I think people just love to be around him just for the one-timers and just enjoyed him as a person. So you had to appreciate that. Craig Patrick, when he was the bench coach, you remember the old line, Vague Craig.
Right.
That was Craig's style. I mean, he was a young man who hadn't, stopped playing, but maybe a couple of years before. He just had the Olympic experience, with Herb as his assistant. He was kind of the go-to guy for the players because the kids couldn't talk to Herb. And Craig's way was to just kind of low-key it. And, so I guess the point that I'm getting at is everybody is different. John's hockey knowledge is without question. His ability to coach, I think, is without question. I think his guy that he utilizes to be that go-between for his players is Mike Sullivan, who is a terrific guy, terrific person, very learned in the game as well. Will make a great head coach someday himself, I think. And, again, he certainly did a good job with the Bruins, and I think he just fell on some hard times, early in the season, and it was convenient for him to get moved along. But, I think that John is, he's a bit of an enigma. But I think he relishes that and wants to maintain that sense of privacy for himself and for his teammates, for his players, rather.
And I think when we discussed this pre-show, that you were telling me that he likes to protect the room, his players in the room. Would you say that's indicative of him?
Yeah, no question. And like most coaches, he played. And played at Maine, UMaine, played in the East Coast Hockey League. He's not overly big, but he was very, very aggressive. He was a character guy. He's a guy that would run through anybody on the ice, drop the gloves with anybody. Still takes very, very good care of himself physically. I think he demands that of his players, that their body is their asset, and that they have to be ready, in that 5 to 8% body fat range, and not sloughing, in the off season and coming to camp chubby like a lot of us used to do back in the old days.
Well, back in the old days, people, the summers were like, they were for relaxing and having a good time, and there was whoa, camp's coming up, I got to get in shape. Nowadays, these kids are training every day, and just it's become such an important part of the game. I guess it does kind of, I think a lot of the Ranger fans, at least a lot of the callers and the people we get here, I mean, after just 1 year, first of all, I don't think you give a coach 1 year. You can't give a coach just 1 year. Jim, I'm gonna ask you to take over the interview. Oh, there we go. I'm telling you. the microphone.
Yeah,
you're driving.
You're fading them out. We're gonna have to requisition you a new microphone for a new headset and microphone.
Yeah, we gotta put emphasis on the budget. We gotta get a requisition. In. You're right.
Here, guys, that's the good news.
I guess a lot of Ranger fans believe that. A lot of people in the chat room saying it's a conspiracy. It's James Dolan is trying to shut me up. Which I think you worked for the Dolans, didn't you, Steve?
I did. They were very, very good to me. I ran their station in Boston, Sports Channel New England, as a matter of fact. We were known for the Boston Celtics and the old Hartford Whalers.
Wow, the Whale. Do we have the Bass, what was that called, the Brass Band Bonanza? What is that song they used to play after they scored?
Brass Bonanza.
Yeah. Don't we have it somewhere? Jim?
You have it on your switchboard. I don't have it on mine.
Okay.
I am wearing a Hartford Whalers shirt tonight, believe it or not.
Get out of town.
Anybody that's got the video link that's watching in the chat room, yes, they can see me in my Hartford Whalers T-shirt tonight.
Wow. Oh, all right. Now you're scouting now. You have been scouting. How long have you been into scouting?
Well, I've been with them since 94, so quite some time.
Oh, yeah, you know, this is the question. I'm sorry. I got off track with the technical difficulties. But a lot of Rangers feel that is that, and again, this is just, you know, the Ranger fan who is just frustrated to no end, that perhaps John was had a great team in Tampa Bay. That's why he won in Tampa Bay, and that's, you know, why he hasn't won much since. Would you say that that's probably further from the truth than anything?
I mean, you know, I look at the Ring Club, and, you know, you got to build from the net out, and you've got a premier goaltender in Lundqvist that certainly could be put right up there with where Javi Bluin was at that particular point in time in his career. So, number one, you're not going to go anywhere without the prime goalkeeper, and you guys certainly have that. You know, beyond that, he brought along a terrific asset that I thought, having seen him play against the Bruins in the exhibition season earlier this year, that he was still another year away. But Delzato just is going to be just a terrific NHLer for a number of years, and provided he stays healthy. And what he brings to the game is excitement and obviously the ability to carry the puck, run up and what have you. Stahl is a terrific NHL defenseman. Ridden, you know, although he's been around for quite some time now. He's got a few miles on him. He can still play a very solid, you know, forward role in that D corps. Girardi and Gilroy and Roosevelt. I mean, they've got a pretty good defensive group. You got Sanguinetti down in the minors that is going to be able to give you good minutes real soon, I think. And up front, I think they need a little bit more scoring pop. I love the big Russian Anzimov.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's
I saw him play at Traverse City back probably 3 or 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at him and I said, you know, that kid, he could be the next Phil Esposito. I mean, big and strong and just, you know, can plant himself and unload the puck. And so he's a nice asset. You know, strength up the middle. You got Jokic now, and Minsky's just been having a banner year. You know, Boyle is a blue line guy that gives you that fourth line ice and big, strong kid that can kill penalties. You've got Drury, who's a terrific leader. Gabrick, what do you say about him? I mean, all he does is score goals. And Callahan's a tremendous guy for the room. I think Lizen's got, some room to grow and improve moving forward. So, I mean, all in all, there's some nice assets there. And they've done a really good job of drafting. They've got some nice players that are coming along in the system. You know, this kid Carter, they took to play at BC and won an NCAA championship this year. I think he's going to add a lot of speed to the game. Think about Glenn Anderson kind of speed. And he's going to be a nice asset. They've got a centerman by the name of Derek Stepan that was the captain of the world junior team for the U.S., and he's just a terrific all-around player. You're going to love him in New York. So, yeah, they've done a terrific job, I think, of adding assets here.
Now, And you primarily scout in the Boston area, so have you seen a lot of Kreider and Ryan Bourque, a lot of them over there?
Well, I saw a lot of Kreider, again, because he's right here at Boston College. I saw Ryan coming up through prep. Played at Cushing, like his brother Chris did, Cushing Academy, and then, of course, went on to play in junior. And, you know, but, you know, he's very similar to the kind of player as Chris. He might be maybe a step quicker than Chris.
Mm-hmm.
I think Chris would be a little bit thicker, but I think he's a step quicker, and they both love to shoot the puck a ton. But, you know, Kreider's, you know, he's a 6'2", 200-pound speedster that's got a nice pair of hands, and he can find the net. And I think he's going to really light it up and excite a lot of people in New York.
And Matt Gilroy, he kind of struggled his first year here, and I'm sure you got to see him. He's a Hobie Baker Award winner. Can you give us a little bit of insight of what type of player Matt Gilroy is, and did you see a lot of him?
Well, I saw Matt, you know, back probably 4 years before he even got to college. He was playing up in the Eastern Junior Hockey League for the Walpole Stars, I think it was. And at that time, he was a maybe a second-line forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he had played a little bit of defense when he was in high school back in Long Island, growing up in Long Island area. And ultimately, when he got to BU as a walk-on, I think that injuries on the blue line, and he'd walked up to Jack Parker and said, you know, Jack, if you need some help on the blue line, I used to play back in high school.
Uh-huh.
And so Jack said, okay, well, let's give you a go, kid. And, you know, as a lot of rookies, particularly walk-ons at a Herald program like Boston University, they don't get a big sniff right away, but, you know, he makes them earn their way in. But as soon as Gilroy started getting some ice, you could see that the kid had something back there that he was bringing to the table in terms of being able to carry the puck and vision and distribute the puck. And they couldn't get him off the ice from that point forth. And his reputation just grew and grew and grew and grew over those 4 years at BU. And terrific family, terrific kid. Obviously, much heralded, you know, coming out, winning a national championship, winning the Hobie Baker, and then stepping onto Broadway. Not the easiest thing to do, but I think his best is ahead of him.
Yeah, I think so too. I it may even be at wing. I mean, who knows? He surely he had such a terrific preseason, and he even admitted that he was gassed by the All-Star break because you know the NHL schedule is so much different than the college schedule and just intensity. And you're back there on the blue line, I have to tell you, you know, you're taking a beating, you're involved. I mean, it's just, there's no nights off back there.
It's not unusual that rookies will find that, particularly if they've come out of the college game.
Mm-hmm.
They play such a short season, and the guys are just bigger, stronger, faster, and they just, you know, they hit the wall. They hit the wall come January, and I think that was the case for him. So I think he's going to get smart. Conditioning will improve probably over the summer, get stronger, and come back a little bit more focused. And if they decide that they want to use him up in wing, hey, there was a guy by the name of Ron Greshner that played every one of his seasons in New York. But you remember, we couldn't find anybody smart enough to play alongside Hedberg and Nielsen, and he stepped up on the left wing with those guys, and he was outstanding. So who knows?
Steve, I mean, you played with Ron. I think, you know, we've kind of tried, a lot of people on the show that, you know, fans of the show, and we really think Ron should have his number retired. I mean, really, number four has got to go up there. I mean, you think about his tenure as a Ranger, how great he was. He didn't take anything. He came from the Western Hockey League. He was a guy that was chippy when it needed to be, could fill a role offensively, so gifted. I think he really deserves to have his banner up there. I think he's an all-time great Ranger.
16, 17 seasons in Ranger Blue, I'm with you 150%. I mean, he was another one of those guys that couldn't do enough when I came into the room in terms of being gracious and showing you around and showing you the pro way and always dressed to the nines with, you know, a great-looking press suit and a pair of cap-toed shoes that were shined as best as they could be, and just carried himself with dignity and class. And that's what I think Ranger Hall of Famers are all about. You know, it's all about dignity, class, and performance on the ice.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, that's something that I think has been overlooked. I guess I want to talk about your Tampa Bay days. Now, we've talked a little bit. Now, Tampa, big news. Stevie Y is now the general manager, and you got to be excited about that. I mean, you know, Stevie Y, he brings, you know, he's got that winning tradition as a player. And, you know, sometimes I get a little worried about players becoming GMs because we're kind of facing that in New York where there is kind of a little bit of scuttlebutt that Mark Messier may be taking over. And you worry because you don't want to see a player's rep tarnished by, like, being a bad GM, although I don't, can't see Steve Yzerman or Mark Messier's reputation ever being tarnished. But are you excited about that? And what's Tampa? What is Tampa's needs? What is Tampa looking for? I mean, you don't have to tell me any insider trader secrets, but I know you primarily scout the Boston area. What do you think Tampa's looking forward to at this point?
Well, first off, let me just address the Steve Yzerman hiring. I mean, I for one, am ecstatic about it. I mean, you know, here's a guy that, you know, he's got three Stanley Cups as a captain of the Red Wings as a player, added another one, you know, as part of the Detroit management team in 2008, and then goes on, you know, more recently and wins the gold medal as the executive in charge of Team Canada for the Olympics. You know, from everyone that I've talked to, I mean, this guy just exudes class and style and grace and dignity. And, you know, he's the kind of person that is very, very intense, is going to tell you, you know, tell it to you straight. And he's going to put together, combined with our new owner, Jeff Finnick, a first-class organization. I mean, that's Jeff's vision, his vision. And here's a guy that, you know, ran the Fidelity Magellan Fund in Jeff Finnick for a number of years, was just ultra successful, and is used to winning, used to being, you know, top-notch, first-class. By the way, just a little aside, Jeff Finnick does admit that he grew up in New Jersey as a Ranger fan. He used to watch the Rangers.
Oh.
Falling asleep as a kid, but he brings in Stevie Yzerman, and the vision is first class from top to bottom and excellent in all departments. And I think that's what we're going to see, you know, moving forward. It's been a little bit crazy these last couple of years after Mr. Davidson and Guardian Industries moved away. They gave us some stability after our previous two owners. This is the fifth ownership group now for me that since I've been there. And I think that you're going to see Jeff Minnick and Stevie Yzerman put together a really first-class organization, top to bottom.
Yeah, that sounds like that's just a great marriage. Both those men, you know, they're successful, they're committed, they're, you know, and you got a good base to start from. I mean, you know, Steve Stamkos, Victor Hedman, the goalie situation you probably need to work on. And I really wanted to ask you. I mean, since you're in the Boston area, I know there's some players coming out in this draft that are going to be available. Croyle is one of them. Can you maybe give us a little bit of a heads up on who to watch out for in the draft as far as Boston area players go?
Well, I could do that. And you know, you mentioned Croyle, and he's a kid that's going to be going to Boston University next year. He's a big right shot winger that plays with a lot of desire. Plays in all three zones, can finish. I think that he needs a little bit of work, like a lot of the kids do on his skating, but I think that will come with strength and with effort. But he's a kid that I think a lot of clubs will be looking at probably in the first 30 picks. There's another lad that's from up this way, Kevin Hayes. His brother actually played at Boston College and won the championship there with him this last season. Jimmy Hayes is a Toronto Maple Leaf. Draft like that. Kevin is a kid that played at Nobles, and Nobles and Green are one of the prep schools here locally. And you know, he's a 6'3" centerman, left shot centerman that sees the ice very well and distributes well, and can really fire the puck and thinks the game well. Again, needs some work with his skating, but that's not unusual for any of these young guys. You know, as they're growing into their bodies and you know need to kind of power up and get into weight room and get stronger. As a matter of fact, they've got the combine going on this week up in Toronto.
Right.
We've got the top 50 kids, you know. But in terms of the top of the draft, I don't think it's any surprise that, you know, it's probably going to be, you know, 1-2 either Tyler Seguin and Taylor Hall or Hall Seguin in that order. And of course, you've got Edmonton and Boston picking 1-2. I understand that Taylor Hall was 4 for Bobby Orr. And, you know, with that said, and I think Bobby's group actually represents him, you know, here's Boston sitting at 2. They'd love to have him. But, I mean, I think he's all in all the number one guy for me. I mean, I look at a player like that you know, 2 years in a row wins the Memorial Cup with his club and also is named the MVP of the Memorial Cup. He's just a terrific, terrific all-around talent. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But, you know, the draft's a wild animal, and it's always different and unique year in and year out. You never know what kind of moves are going to be going on, whether people want to roll back for a player or try to move forward for a player. So we'll see what happens when we get out to you know, Staples Center in the third week of June.
Well, I wish I could be there. But you know what? My partner will be at the draft with actual press credentials. This show full of static and overmodulation actually got press credentials.
Wow. Well, make sure he steps up and says hello if he gets a chance.
Jim.
Yeah? I'd love to get the chance to say hello to you and talk to you if you're going to be there.
Are you going to be, Steve, where are you going to be exactly? Because Jim gets lost a lot.
especially in Los Angeles.
Just look for the Tampa table on the draft floor.
Okay. You know, I wanted to say, don't you feel Los Angeles is kind of a lame place to have this draft? I mean...
Don't forget, this was a switcheroo off of Phoenix. Phoenix was supposed to get the draft, and then, you know, they took the team, and Mr. Moyes decided to take the team into bankruptcy, and all this were off after that, you know?
Hey, blame it on Phoenix. Just blame everything on Phoenix.
Well, blame it on Jerry Moyes, I guess. I would never blame it on Phoenix. I think our former Ranger partner there, Don Maloney, did an absolutely outstanding job. And the president of the organization out there, Doug Moss, used to run Madison Square Garden. Another terrific guy. So there are some Ranger ties out there as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Rangers seem to deal with Phoenix quite a lot, too. You definitely can see those ties come to the surface. Well, Steve, I thank you so much for joining us. I mean, we just spent an hour of internet radio with Steve Baker talking about the past, the present, the future, and we just loved having you. We'd like to have you on again because, you know, we could talk about draft picks and prospects and all that stuff and keeping up what's going on with Tampa Bay and the whole thing. I really appreciate you coming on. Now, Steve, I just wanted to tell you, the fans out there, I wrote Steve a letter, I typed the letter, and you know, nowadays with, you know, emails and all the technology and everything, you know, I just think it's really nice that Steve answered the letter and made the effort to contact me. It just speaks volumes. Again, I've said it over and over about hockey players especially. They are down to earth. They are they're just the friendliest guys out there. And I really do from the cockles of my heart, I really do appreciate that you answered me and came on the show and spent this time with us. Yeah, I really appreciate it.
My pleasure, and, you know, to just follow up on your point, there is a piece of mail that comes in here that somebody's looking for something that I don't try to get to and get it back off in a timely fashion. I think that's pretty much the way that every one of the guys in the league handle their affairs, and it's just, you know, it's just the culture, I think.
Yeah, and everybody in the chat room, which is loaded, says, thank you, Steve, and, you know, we still all remember you, and, well, you know, it just was a pleasure talking puck with you for the last hour.
Yeah, I understand Avery's has got my mask up on the wall down at his place.
Yeah, it does. He's got some kind of facsimile down up there.
See, how about that? After all these years, I'm still hanging around down in Manhattan.
And it's true, that mask, go ahead.
We completely glossed over that, Steve. And I said today on our website that I thought you had one of the best masks in Ranger lore. I rank it up there, just behind the JD Lone Ranger mask. What did you come up with that idea, or did somebody come up with it for you? Who did? If you could tell us real quick, I don't want to keep you, but if you could tell us real quick who came up with the idea and maybe who did the artwork, that would be great.
Yeah, I can't take credit for the concept. I kind of left it open-ended to a guy by the name of Greg Harrison, who during that time frame probably did about, I would say, a good 80% of the guy's masks in the league. He was a very creative guy that not only had a, you know, knew how to make the mask, but was an artist. And he's the one that came up with the concept of the Empire State Building and Ranger Red, White, and Blue, and a star in each cheek, and then a star over the top of the Empire State Building. And I think it was the first mask that was kind of a dedication, if you will, to the city that the goalkeeper played in. So I'm proud about that. That mask is on display up at the Hockey Hall of Fame in Canada, and they were nice enough to put me in that category, if you will. So little bits and pieces of me floating around, and hopefully nobody's throwing any darts at that mastermind over at Avery's Bar.
They're probably throwing it at Avery. Well, Steve, thanks again so much. And you know what? I like the fact that, you know, me and you have been bantering back and forth the whole show, and then Jim just comes in with a really good, pertinent question. Like a minute to go. It was like a jump shot at the buzzer. You're a buzzer beater, Jim.
Well, you know, hey, you can't count out. You know, every once in a while, you know, he'll throw a slapper in the top corner on you.
All right, Steve, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Jim. It was my pleasure. You take care. All the best to your listeners.
Okay, take care, my friend.
Thanks, Steve.
Bye-bye.
Steve Baker, ladies and gentlemen.
The original number 35.
The original number 35. Yeah, yeah. Well,
he was number 35 before when Richter was in short pants, as they say.
Yeah. I mean, Richter was kick-saving in his crib back then. Oh, boy. Whoa.
And
I tell you, that technical difficulty stuff bothers the crap out of me. Oh.
Yeah, I know. I don't know if it's your mic, if it's just our Blog Talk Radio or what it is, but
Skype, I don't know what's going
on.
But anyway,
Skype is usually the one. Skype is usually the one constant. That's usually the one thing we don't have any problems with. We love Skype.
I'm noticing this cam stuff. Now I see you got a cam. Can people really actually see you?
Yes, people are watching me on the camera, sitting here on the pad in the patio, the theater of the mind, studio here on in my Whalers T-shirt. Yes, the cam is on.
I'm seeing it now. Let's see if I get
it's part of the
a pie chart going around. I'm getting hypnotized by this thing.
It should come up there after a second. We have a whole bunch of people. Oh, there you are. It says you are watching me on the cam.
I am watching.
Wood said he couldn't get it to work. Jackie's watching. Marcy's watching.
Oh, Marcy's so handsome. Oh. Anyway. Nice.
You know, I got a great face for radio. I've been saying that for a long time.
Yeah, well, you know, I got to say that too.
Did the video
work
for you or not?
Thank you, I gave it up.
Sorry.
So Steve Baker telling us all about Chris Kreider. He's high on him. I like that. Steve, recall that Nick Fatia story is priceless. Again,
I'm surprised we had never heard that one before. I guess there's just a whole probably a whole book of stories about Nick Fatia we haven't heard.
Yeah, that one's a good one. And Steve was just so forthcoming, and we thank him again. Now, what do we got on the table now? We got a Ranger roll call of some sort.
If you want to do the roll call, now would be a very good time.
All right, let's do it. Oh God, not this again! Hey, give me an intro. Give me my Hungry Hippo Holla thing.
Hold on.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life.
Oh, no. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's
my real intro.
Nope, that's not it either. Wait a minute. I forget where you put this thing. Oh, here it is. All right, without further ado, here it is.
Mr. Mouth, Mr. Mouth.
It's Mr. Mouth, the new game from Tomy that can't keep his big mouth shut.
Mr. Mouth, Mr. Mouth.
Try to flip your chips into his mouth before he closes it.
Mr. Mouth, Mr. Mouth.
First one out of chips is the winner.
Mr. Mouth, Mr. Mouth.
I'll just give him my hippo hurricane collar.
Ace of Spades! He is here. He is near. He is... He's here. The Ace of Spades in the chat room holding it down. Holding it down like bolts to a floor. Why would bolts be in a floor? I have no idea. Avery rules. That's right. Avery's bar rules. Because it's Warren 77 where Steve Baker's mask can be seen proudly, and for you youngins who have never gotten a chance to see Steve Baker's mask, you can go to the Hockey Hall of Fame. And I bet you didn't know the Hockey Hall of Fame is in a place what used to be a bank, but now it's in a mall. How can you have a Hall of Fame in a mall? But it's still the best Hall of Fame out there, and I don't care what Mandar says, the Baseball Hall of Fame is boring. B23 Blue Paint, it was out in Arizona. And you see that little cam there, you know, where you could see Jim and everything? B23 Blue Paint was in person. If this was the show last week, he could have been on that cam too. Why didn't you come on the cam? You probably weren't there. I don't know. You probably came later in the week. But B23 Blue Paint, I salute you because you are full of pain and you bleed blue. B23. Is that Jeff Buchalo at Ed Hospital? I don't know. Before MV01. Before I move in 2001, I don't know what that means, but I'll tell you one thing. 01 reminds me of 2000, the year 2000. And tonight I went to the Millennium Diner and had chocolate chip pancakes. That's right, only $15. Come on, $15 for pancakes? Ridiculous. Cohen Hockey, Bruce Cohen. I think that's Bruce Cohen. Cohen Hockey. You know, really known for the best Jewish hockey sticks in hockey today, let's face it. They make the best Jewish hockey sticks. I don't know. Cohen Hockey. The Cohen brothers. I'm riffing. Gucci Wally, ladies and gentlemen, one of the all-time great Ranger fans, the season ticket holder is there, so sick and thin and just a great guy. Always worried about it. And Coast of the Crazy Greek. Is there anybody in the chat room this guy hasn't offended? I mean, seriously, tonight. Here's another guy. I have a guest, and he's asking me questions about people in the chat room. Costa, I'm doing a radio show or attempting to do one. And then Frosty, they call him Anthony, but I call him Tony because he's one big rough hombre. Don't mess with Anthony, or Tony as he likes to be called, because he'll grab you by the tail and beat your ass like a red-headed stepchild. And as you can call me Jay, but don't call me Anthony. You got guest 4398 and guest 5344. You are my guest, and I welcome you to my humble abode. And if you want to take a sneak peek at Jim, I don't think he can. Knowing Blog Talk, they probably blocked you from that. Oh, and there she is, Jackie Lomba. One of the most opinionated young ladies that I like to canoodle with at a Ranger game. I don't know if canoodle is the right word, but Jackie Lomba, again, I always love when she calls Dan Girardi a candy ass. I like the fact that she has extreme venom for one John Tortorella. I won't say what she calls him. Jackie is a diehard Ranger fan, and we're all wondering, we're just anticipating, will Jackie re-up her season tickets? She's been discussing whether she will or will not. She also woke up late today and was late for work. Jags, Yag 68. Who doesn't like Jaromir Jagr? Yag 68 wants to get the phone calls. I can just imagine why. Loon Ranger. That's right. Not the Lone Ranger. The Loon Ranger. The common Loon Ranger. Loon Ranger is, obviously, you're amongst friends here with fellow loons and wackos in this chat room, and especially this announcer right now,
which is myself speaking on a retarded, oh, I use retarded, that's not politically correct, a ridiculously non-functioning microphone. And the great Manda. Manda getting quoted a lot. He was quoted on Ringside Radio as calling the Rangers' demise of this season. So, Manda, you are famous. You don't know it, but the fact that you call the Rangers winning, then losing the final two games is all over Internet radio land. Marcy Braverman, Dr. Marcy Braverman, please welcome. You know, I was thinking
That's
about
right.
this. Now, what is her specialty, Marcy Braverman? Because I might need a doctor one of these days. Both me and you may need a doctor. What?
Considering how she hangs around in here every week, I'd say her specialty is probably psychotic behavior.
She's probably using us as a lab experiment with some of the people in here.
Do you remember? Peanuts, where Lucy used to set up the booth that said "Psychiatric Help, 5 cents"? Marcy could do that. Marcy could do that in the chat room and probably make a fortune off this bunch.
Oh yeah, I got to tell you, this is one crazy crew. I mean, this is like cuckoo's nest in here. Phoenix Ranger. I love Phoenix, Arizona. Why? I don't know. It's near Jim, I guess, and you can see Jim on webcam. Phoenix Ranger, love Ranger fans that are keeping it real in the field and in the desert. I mean, you could even find a Ranger fan in the desert. So I like that. I like it, and I don't care. And Don Maloney, I don't care what your Ranger fan said. He's a good GM. We could use him. Oh, we did have him. Sorry. Ranger 235, Zach. Zach, I love Zach. Zach's always happy. He's always, you know, he's a happy-go-lucky guy. His schooling is almost over. It's probably over. I don't know. I can't keep up with his life. But Zach's always happy, good-go-lucky, and he's always good for updates to give us during the game. And, you know, everybody's got a mental case. I think that's his drunk quote that will always stand in my mind forever. Rock 1193, Charles Dutton, as we know him, R-O-C-K in the USA, a John Mellencamp song that I can't stand. As a matter of fact, my wife doesn't like songs where you can they spell out the name. Like, you know that song by Hall & Oates, Modern Method of Love? Like when I go, M-E-T-H-O-D, like when they spell things out? She can't stand that. That's one of her pet peeves.
That's funny.
So, yeah, I don't get it either. Stan from Bayside.
What does USA?
Does he go, you? No, he doesn't spell it out, though. He doesn't go, you.
USA.
All right. Well, you can
anyway,
call her later.
Open up.
Call her later. The man. Yes, the man. Macedonian.
It sounds like this guy sounds like a wrestler. Like, ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome the Mad Macedonian, Mil Máscaras.
No, Mil was from Mexico, but still, like the Mad Macedonian, like Butcher Vashon or the Mad Hungarian, Al Herbosky. Everybody remember him? He was a pitcher for the St. Louis Cardinals back in the day.
And the
Japanese.
Right. The Japanese. Juggernaut, the anti-woot. 6 o'clock in the morning, and he's listening to this crap? Holy cow, you know what I'm doing at 6 o'clock in the morning?
Probably sleeping in heavy REM. Heavy REM sleep, and God knows what I'm dreaming. But Japan is even listening to this show. Can you believe it?
And speaking of the Three Stooges, on Shemp, D.B. Maven. Hey, Shep, how are you? Glad that you could join us. Where were you been? I mean, you been at that? Yeah,
wow.
I mean, seriously, D.B. Maven. I mean, he's about a, you know, I
don't know why I thought of this when D.B. became, but did Steve Baker say that that Wade Redden was capable? He hasn't watched the Rangers.
All right, but D.B. Maven, thank God you're here, brother. We love you. Jim, do you know what D.B. stands for? I never asked
doing
him
business.
That. Doing business. Doing business?
I don't know.
I don't know what it is. I could come up with a couple things. But DB Maven, the voice of reason, we love you, and thanks for joining us. And Walker, New York Ranger. Walker, New York Ranger.
DB, Dingbat. DB, Dingbat.
You Dingbat. DB Maven in the house. Walker, New York Ranger. I love that. It's like Walker, Texas Ranger. You used to do that Chuck Norris Walker, Texas Ranger bit where he'd pull a lever and it would be like some crazy scene of, you know, Chuck Norris beating up a snake. Well, anyway, that's what it reminds me. Walker, New York Ranger, welcome to Blue Shirt Banner Radio, where we had Steve Baker on May 26, 2010. That concludes the Blue Shirt Banner Radio Hungry Hippo Holla!
All right.
We're talking about
now,
sticks.
I wanted to talk for a minute about the draft. We'll touch on it real quick. But before we do that, why don't you give a hint as to who our guest next week is, and then we'll let people work on that while we touch on the draft really quick, and then we'll see if anybody guesses it, and then we'll make the announcement. So if you want to drop the hint, by all means do.
Okay. Before I do that, I left Stan from Bayside out, and I apologize for that, but after what I said about Stan last week, I'm giving him a pass because last week I said that he was doing something with Cheetos he shouldn't have been doing. So that's it. Now, as far as the hint goes for next week, it's hot in here, let me tell you. Between the computer problems and the the humidity is killing me. Anyway, next week's guest is going to be, Ranger, a longtime NHLer, recently retired within the last 4 years. I think he was playing in the NHL. I could look it up right now. Let's see when he was playing. He was a longtime Ranger. He spent quite a bit of time with the Rangers and his career with the Rangers. You do see him from time to time now on your television sets, especially if you're watching Versus. No, you don't see him on Versus.
No,
you don't see him on Versus. He retired in 2004 from the NHL. He played 1 year overseas. So I guess I was a little bit off. So 6 years. No, Ed Olczyk will never be on the show. He's tremendously tremendous, but Ed Olczyk, what could he bring to the show? Yes, Harry Howell, just retired in 2000. Why are we talking about Hawks like yesterday?
Harry Howell, Hardy Astrom, yeah, he just retired.
Just retired, come on.
After a 32-year career, Frosty.
Okay, I'll do this. This is going to be such an obscure hint that if anyone gets this, I am going to give them, get this. I am going to give them a Matthew Gabarito
reference. I like it. Nice. I'm sorry.
I'm going to give them a Marion Gaborik rookie card. All right? This is what. If you get this on this hint, he is involved with the guy who scored a penalty shot. This is so obscure. Against Mario Brunetta of the Quebec Nordiques. They are part of the same. Oh my God! Marcy Braverman. What? Holy cow! Is she on this?
Wow!
I think she's got it. You have won yourself a Marion Gaborik rookie card. Now I don't know where she got that from, and I don't know if she's just randomly just typing that word in, but somehow has stumbled upon it.
Actually, she just bought a Jeep, I think.
Oh, well, James Patrick is going to be on this show next week, and she said Jeep, and that's his nickname. So,
I was kidding about her just buying a Jeep. No, she knew.
Oh, my God, okay.
She knows who Jeep is. Number three, one of the 100 Ranger greats.
Oh, so wow, you have won. Yeah, Jim, are you doing some kind of, you know, miming over there on your camera to give her the answers?
Yeah, wow. I was holding up pictures of James Patrick. Anyway, congratulations, Bosty. Nice guess. Good guess.
Hardy Astrom was close.
Hardy Astrom, yes. He just retired after a 37-year career.
Yeah. So James Patrick, assistant coach of the Buffalo Sabres, will be with us next week. I talked to James yesterday, and I have to tell you, he is awesome. I mean, he's just a great guy. He told me a story that this year, when the Rangers were in that ridiculous shootout against the Fighters, that the Sabres were playing on the same day. And the Sabres were playing between like the first or second or second and third while the Ranger game was going on in the shootout. And he said that he was supposed to go into the dressing room and address the team between periods. And he was so involved in watching the Ranger game and rooting for the Rangers that he was late for the meeting to talk to the players. And he was rooting. He says he hates the Flyers. And then he was just rooting so much for the Rangers that he loved his time in New York. And just like you could see, he was just so enthralled at, you know. And he's been really good in contacting me. And you think a guy who's involved as much as he is, and he just loves the Ranger fans and can't wait to talk. So it's going to be great. So I got to call him Monday and set up a reminder with him. But after that, that's it. Is there some static going on here? A little bit.
Not at all. You're nice and clear now that we don't have Steve Baker on the phone.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe no, but it was happening before that. So James Patrick, I think that's a pretty good get. I think maybe we can get Lindy Ruff. Lindy Ruff was the guy who scored on Mario Brunetta, and I couldn't believe that Lindy Ruff, who was, you know. I don't know what Lindy Ruff was. Yeah, and he got a penalty shot and he scored, because I remember me and my friends, you know, betting, like, this guy's never going to score. And maybe we can get Lindy Ruff. There would be a good connection there, because James is a nice guy, and it would be a good chance for us fans and us to build a kind of relationship with him so we can talk about the Sabres and you know, it's good to talk hockey and make these things, you know, make these connections through ex-Rangers. And plus, these guys are full of great stories. The Steve Baker you heard and Ted Nolan. Yeah, we're going to get him. We'll talk about him. So, anyway, the requests keep coming in for us who to get. And we're lucky we get anybody. Let's face it. I mean, if they hear this show, they ain't coming on.
Especially with the production crew we have on staff.
It's ridiculous here. But so that would be, you know, people at Domi, I think Domi has a little bit, and this is nothing that I've gathered like through any kind of sources, if you will. I think he's a little bit bitter about the Rangers trading him away for Eddie Olczyk. And I think he considers himself more of a Leaf than a Ranger. I don't think he holds anything against the fans, but I think he considers himself more of a Leaf. So,
the hell with him.
You tell him that.
The hell with him. All right. Really quick, before we'll squeeze in a couple of phone calls before we're done, if we can. But really quick, the draft, June 26th, I think it is, 25th or 26th, L.A. As you know, I'm going to be there. I know you guys are having some kind of draft party on Saturday, the second day of the draft, in the city. And I think what we're going to try and do, I had an idea. I think maybe if we could put together a show for Saturday night, what I was thinking of doing is maybe going and setting up shop in the lobby of the official NHL hotel, mm-hmm. where the media stays, and well, where the media that can afford it stay, not the media that pay their own ticket to go to the draft like me, but the media stays there, the NHL stays there, the teams, they all stay in the same hotel, and it's, from what I understand, it's right across the street from the Staples Center. So what I was thinking maybe we could do is we put together a little show. I'll do a remote and that night, and we'll see if we can maybe drum up a few, get some people to come on the air with us. And I think we're going to have a special guest with us that night. I believe Marcy Braverman will be attending the draft, and I might see if I can get her to schmooze a few people to come talk to us at the on the air. So I thought maybe that would be a fun idea.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that'd be good. Dr. Marcy Braverman in the house.
Exactly.
You know, she could just be like, hey, listen, Steve Eisenman, come over here. Walk with me.
I'm thinking we could set up in the lobby, and you know, it's pretty much it's not like we're setting up a whole big a big production. It's just a matter of I'm just a guy on a laptop with a headset on, so I don't think we'd draw too much attention where people would get upset. And we'll try and get some people on the air, and we'll see what happens. Or it could be a huge dud.
And Marcy said she'd do it. And Marcy, if you did that, would be awesome. That would be cool. Totally awesome.
Marcy is down with the cause, so it could be fun. Could be fun.
Good.
So that's what we're gonna do.
Okay. Do we want to take phone calls?
Yeah. Why don't we try and get in a couple of these phone calls real quick, because we also wanted to talk about what's going on here on Blue Shirt Banner Radio before we finished up. So why don't we? Let's see. Oh, now the switchboard. Are you serious? Are you freaking kidding me? Now the switchboard's jammed up on me. Hold on.
What a night.
Try this again.
Night for radio.
201-788. You're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this?
What's going on, guys? It's Robbie.
Hey, Robbie. How's it going?
I'm watching the Mets right now. They're winning 5-0.
Mets are on a roll, aren't they? Even though I don't care about the sport.
Yeah. Do you know who they're beating, though?
I think they're beating
Phillies. This is the first revenge after what the Flyers did on the last day of the year. I vowed that the Phillies wouldn't, that the Mets would beat the Phillies just to help out the Rangers, the fellow New Yorkers, if you know what I mean. So, because that still haunts me.
Yeah, well, Robbie, let me ask you this. How bad do you want the Hawks to just totally obliterate the Flyers in the Cup?
I can't believe that the Flyers are in, but let me ask you a question. If the Rangers would have won that game on the last day of the year, does that mean that the Rangers would have been in the finals?
No, because the Rangers wouldn't have done what the Flyers did.
I don't know, but the Flyers is just not just that bad, but they matched up well. I can't believe that they did that. It's just, I hope the Hawks just kill them. But if the Flyers win, it's just going to be unbearable. But Zuccarelli, how much, what was the deal with him? Like, how much is he making per year?
I think he'll come under $1 million, I think.
I think it's $900,000 a year was what I heard.
And it's a two-year contract?
Yes.
All right. That's good. All right. And what about that guy that they got from the Islanders? Is he any good, or is he just like a throw-in or whatever?
Well, from what we heard, what we're hearing, at least from so-called prospect experts, Jesse Rubenstein, who I think is a prospect expert, Russ Cohen, however, I'm only kidding, Russ. I love you. Me and Russ are like two brothers going at it. You know, Russ is talking about, Yuri Niemi isn't that good, but meanwhile, Zuccarello Austin not being that good. But meanwhile, we can't beat Nigel Dawes. But anyway, I digress. I think Niemi will be good, but I don't know if he's ever going to see the light of day in the NHL with the Rangers. But I heard the kid has a lot of talent, a booming shot, but he's been injury prone, and so that was the deal. He's probably better than the pick that they gave up. So, in that way, looks good.
At least he's not getting overpaid. But another thing, when is the renovation of the Garden supposed to start? I've been hearing that for years, and they haven't touched it. So is that going to start this summer or what?
Well, me and Stan from Bayside, once we get our work orders, we'll be there to build the bridge.
The Blue Shirt Banter Radio Bridge.
Yeah. I mean, how many people are going to, like, throw fish sticks on the ice once they play the Islanders. That's what I want to know.
I'm sure if that bridge exists, it will be well protected from the ice and vice versa.
Yeah. One more thing. Tomorrow, do you guys know what special day tomorrow is?
I hope it's not. I saw you put on my Facebook that it was the Islanders 1980.
I was just a mindless.
Let me tell you something right now. Don't put anything pro Islanders on my Facebook. I love you, Bobby, but I don't want to be reminded. Remember what you said? Do you remember that day? Yeah, I got my Ranger hat knocked off 400 times. Yeah, I remember that day. I was a kid in high school. I was scarred. I was bullied. That's why I am what I am today. Because
yeah, he's got three appointments with. Well, he's got three appointments with Dr. Braverman every week.
Yeah. So I got therapy and my psychoanalyst up the yin-yang. This is that 1980 to 83 period.
Yeah, well, so. Now you're in 2003, but when the Devils won here. But what I was going to say was it's 16 years tomorrow of Matt Toe, May 27th, 1994.
Oh, yeah, well, that was different. Then
yeah,
I had then I had my just desserts. And now
what
I can't wait
you,
to get...
Were you watching that night?
Was I watching?
Yeah,
no. I was watching reruns of Cheers. What do you think I was watching? I watched every game and I almost had a heart attack in every one of those games. Was I watching?
I was screaming my balls when...
still sticky from 1994.
Robbie, before we let you go, here you go, Robbie.
Face off for the Devils, plays it cross ice into the far corner. Matto swoops into intercept. Matto behind the net, swings it in front. He scores! Matto! And the Rangers have one more hill to climb, baby. But it's North Vancouver.
There it is.
All right, Robbie, we'll talk to you next week.
I'll speak to you later. Thanks for letting me call in. I'll speak to you later, boys, all right?
Anytime. Take it
easy. Take care.
Bye. See you later.
All right.
Wilt.
All right, that was Robbie. Was I watching? Nah.
What was I watching? Are you kidding me? They put me in a straitjacket after that series. I was at the freaking parade and everything. And I wasn't a goalie. You idiots. Anyway. All right, we got anybody else?
Yeah, 917, you're on Blue Shirt Beta Radio. Who's this?
Hey, guys, Bob Swirsky here.
Bob Swirsky.
I'm live from Chicago, filling in for my brother, who just had his most recent heart attack. Got another cousin in Long Island, Eddie DeMount. He's going to have another heart attack soon.
You really need to work on that Chicago accent, my friend.
Oh, shut up.
I'm trying. You got to get a little more Brentworth than old style into your accent. Trust me, I live with that accent.
I need more beers and wings.
That's the other thing. They're not beers and wings. It's beers. You got to have another beer.
Beers.
Come on. If you're gonna call up and talk like that, you got to get it right, my friend.
I think you made a good attempt. It started off really bad and got a little bit better. I mean, listen, he's young.
That's because I'm coaching him here.
Okay.
I'm trying hard, all right? But let's talk about the number one team in Chicago right now, and that is the Blackhawks. The Blackhawks.
A certain hockey team that plays in a certain arena known as the United Center and coached by a man named Joel Quenneville, known as the Hawks.
Blackhawks, one of the youngest teams, and you've got the number one line, and I don't know, is it me or do they not know how to spell their names? You got Toews. He spelled like his name Toews. Kane with a K, and Bufflin with more vowels than old chick's name.
You mean Bifuglin?
Bifuglin, yeah. When I first saw his name, I thought his name was Bifuglin, then I hear him pronouncing it Bufflin.
Final score, Blackhawks 212, Flyers 2. What if there were mini Joel Quenvilles? What would the final score be?
Quenville.
Mini Quenville. I like that.
Do you remember that? The mini Ditkas?
Yeah.
What if there were mini Mike Ditkas?
How about, wasn't there one with Hurricane Ditka?
I don't remember.
Ditka wore a hurricane. I don't know. But
I've seen those.
So come on, let's hope that the Flies just get emasculated and just disintegrate. I want them totally run roughshod over. And Auntie M better play like God in goal. I don't want to see no goals by Mike Richards or anybody like that. You know, I'll tell you one thing, though. I've had to eat my words, so to speak, with Chris Pronger. This guy, he's the real deal when it comes to the playoffs, man. I mean, he had a so-so regular season, but he's been fantastic. And the money that they paid him, I was all like, they're way overpaying for him at this age, but he's a real leader out there. That's the only thing good I can say about the Flyers. Other than that, I want them to die. I want them to die a fast, quick death, four games to zero.
If the Flyers win the Cup, the next day we're going to have a memorial for Lord Stanley's Cup. We're going to have to retire the Cup because I don't want the Flyers touching it again.
We're going to have to...
Like I said, three good things ever came out of the city of Philadelphia. Cheesesteaks, pretzels, and Rocky Balboa.
that reminds me. Today, I was at school in Brooklyn studying for finals. I'm focused. I'm in the zone. And I see a guy wearing a Flyers jersey on my campus. I almost lost it. He was wearing a Mike Richards jersey. I wanted to just scream at him. I wanted to throw my books at him.
Yeah, that would throw me off kilter as well. Especially in Brooklyn. What is an idiot, like, Flyer fan? He's probably a bandwagon. He probably realized the Flyers were in the Stanley Cup jersey. Come on.
I'm wearing my Lundqvist T-shirt. I saw another guy wearing a Rangers T-shirt and hat, and it's like, all right, I'm comfortable. I'm fine. And then I see the Flyers fan. I mean, what the hell is wrong with him?
I know. And B4 just said punch him in the face. I kick him in the balls. Screw that in the face. Kick him in the vagina.
Whatever.
All right, Swirsky, we got to let you go.
All right, Swirsky.
My prediction, Hawks in five.
All right. I'm with
you guys.
Take
care. The Hawks. Stop it.
Yeah, I said vagina.
631-493, you are on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this?
What up, dog?
What up?
What's going on, man?
Not much. What's going on your shit, bro?
Oh, man, I've been writing the raps. I've been hanging. I've been chilling with my peeps up in the hood. You know, it's all good.
Is this going to turn into a Sanford and Son stupid Snoop Doggy Dogg thing here tonight?
Well, it could have, but let's talk about this MZA kid.
Okay,
ladies and gentlemen, 50 Cent.
160 pounds, 5'7". What's up with that?
That's my left leg.
Me and this kid can go shopping at the young men's department. What is it, 30? How long is it going to take before he gets railroad blown over?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I know he's quick. I know he's the water bug. What are they calling him over there? I don't know. The Hobbit.
Well, we talk. Frodo from Odo. You know, I don't know. I mean, listen, how tall is Gianta? Gianta ain't a big guy, right?
Yeah, but Nigel, I mean, just 5'7", 160 pounds, come on.
He played good in the Olympics. I don't know. Claude, you know, I agree with you. I mean, this sounds like a real long shot. You know,
yeah,
but
you got that right. Long shot, absolutely.
I mean, would you rather see Brashear in?
Nah, man.
No, boy.
No, he's too busy writing his raps, baby. Don't be haters and say I suck when y'all know I'm quick on the puck. Crusader said I could be a ranger. Now you punks treat me like I'm a stranger. Yeah, what's up?
All right, we're going to wrap it up.
All right, yeah, that's about it.
Thanks for calling it.
All right, talk to you next week.
Oh, my God. And that will do it. That'll just about wrap it up for another insane, technically deficient episode of Bruce Hurt Beta Radio. I guess, Eddie, we'll have to discuss our future plans next week. We got to go. Always a pleasure, my friend. We'll see everybody next week. Thanks.
All right, take care, everybody. Thanks for coming by.
All right, we're off the air.
Oh, man. I think I called him a crying out on TV like a stranger. Unbelievable. I'm sorry about the technical difficulty. I don't know what it was. I was actually at one point thinking it was the cord to my microphone, and I was actually like holding it one place. It was getting pretty crazy, but it was good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't know. It was weird. I didn't get like a good vibe off of him when I was talking to him, and that's why I was just like, you know, I'll just kind of sit back and let you do it, and because you guys see that, you know, because he talked to you already, and I don't know. He just like. He was a little dry at times, and you know I was trying to like, I don't know, I couldn't get him to loosen up, and then at the end I'm like, oh, I forgot to ask him about his mask.
Yeah, now he was a lot more outgoing than when I spoke to him on the phone. He's a very, you know, he's a very cerebral type of dude, and I didn't really think he would tell us any of those stories, but he was very good, I thought. I mean, those technical difficulties really just, well, they infuriate me. They throw me off so bad. Because it's not, I know it's going wrong, but then you got these people in the chat room just telling me, yeah, you sound like crap. Shut up. So, anyway. Oh, another night in the books. And like I told you, I'm in talks and trying to get this website, somebody to design a website for us. I mean, even if, like, I have no problem, like, if somebody says, well, if it looks really good, and they say, oh, well, it's going to cost you $500 or whatever, I'll pay them. I don't care. You know, I have no problem with that. The thing is you know, if I'm going to, you know, I really have no idea how much it would cost anyway. It may be less than that.
I don't either.
Yeah. So I put out a APB on HF, and I've gotten at least 4 or 5 people interested. So I'll talk to them. And they're Ranger fans, and I said, you know, I got a limited budget, but you know, we'll see what we can do. You know, because I think it's very important that we have a jumping off point for the show and everything. But I can't believe the turnout in the chat room is unbelievable. I mean, it's fucking hot here.
Yeah.
And next week,
10 minutes before the show started, they were all in there.
Yeah. Wow, it's amazing. It's amazing. So let's hone in on this as far as monetizing it. We got to do that. I mean, it's you know, you get too comfortable sometimes, and now we have to kind of push the envelope, I think, a little bit with you know. I just think we got something great here. So you know, let's continue and let's benefit off of it.
Mandar, sorry I didn't get you on before the show ended.
Oh no, don't worry about it, man. I'm having a great time listening to you guys.
Okay.
What's up, brother?
What'd you think of Baker?
I like Baker. I'm glad he talked about shredding his groin, because to be honest, that's what I remember him most about. I remember that too, man. He did a split on a save, and it was just disgusting. I mean, every guy in the arena must have gone ah.
How about that description?
I was surprised he went that far, but yeah. He was really good for like a short period of time, but then after that he was nothing anymore. And then Mio came in after that.
Right. It was Mio and yeah. Hanlon, and then it was Van Beesbrook. So
what's this big surprise? Can you guys spill it, or are you going to wait?
The surprise?
Oh, as far as what?
Future plans or something like that that Jim was talking about.
What we didn't get to.
Oh yeah, we're gonna kind of like spread our wings, so to speak, and get our own website going, and just for the show, and change the name, and try to actually make some little bit of money.
Hey, you got a great following.
Yeah. I mean, it's the numbers have been unbelievable, and we've got nothing going on, and you know, really, it's just all Facebook and word of mouth. So, you know, we're just we're trying to figure out some, you know, like Eddie said, the website that will just be for the show, and you know, maybe doing some videos on there, and you know, a couple of short stories and other ways to promote it, and you know, maybe expanding, doing some other types of shows, and you know, I mean, we just gotta, you know, find a way to grow and maybe make a little change.
Think about the way it was a year ago from this today and how much it's grown. It's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, with no advertising. I mean, you know, just word of mouth and Facebook and just the internet. People from, you know, Australia and England. I mean, all right, they're not all over the place.
Think of the guests. You got Gretzky on. Nobody can trump that. They can have the Dave Maloney's all they want.
Yeah. And
what
we're going to do this.
If we do that draft show, I think that'll be June 26th, and that will be our one-year anniversary.
Ah, there you go.
Pretty cool.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Especially if we cover the draft, I think that'll be cool too. But see, with me and Jim, it's like I have no business sense whatsoever. I can entertain you till the cows come home, but I couldn't think of a way. I can't even get a decent microphone.
I haven't noticed it happen to you before at all, though.
Obviously, you're cutting out bad now, Eddie.
Yeah, but then it goes away. Yeah, you're back.
I don't know what it is. But anyway, so I've been talking to John. You know, John's always, you know.
Right.
He's always got, he's like, you got to be making money at this. It's ridiculous. He's like, oh, you keep giving it away for free. He said, yeah, I understand this, but, you know, my brain is not hardwired for that. It just, you know, it should be.
Yeah, get Galanty to help you. He's got plenty of time.
Fuck him. He's a dude. He's the worst.
I haven't seen you guys in a few months, and that just makes me laugh because it's always the same thing.
He's just a dick. I question why I've ever hung out with him.
Why? Because we used to do chicken fights in the pool. That's why.
No, that was 1985. I'm over that.
Yeah. All right, the statue of liberty.
You didn't even go in the fucking pool. The fucking loser. I said the other day he has the personality of packing peanuts. You know, those peanuts you pack stuff with? That's his personality. He's been leeching off.
I told Pat they were making a story of his a movie of his life called Cloudy with a Chance of Boring.
That guy to me is a waste. I'm really down on him because years and years he fed off the comedy stylings of a lot of funny friends.
Oh yeah, sure.
He adds nothing.
He never has.
He doesn't drink. I'm cutting out again.
I can hear you. He drinks his beer.
How about when I talk real loud? Does it happen? No.
Yeah, it's fine. You're fine now.
All right.
Anyway, I'm gonna be up in 2 weeks. So.
Oh, nice. Cool. Good.
I'm going to John's mother's over there. I'll be over there on the 9th. So if you want to just stop by and say hey.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. All right, guys. I'm going to go in with the air conditioners. I'm like a freaking sauna here.
All right,
guys. Take care. Have a good holiday.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
All right.